Hello, First Baptist Church of Ceres, and our brothers and sisters who may be joining us, friends, guests, everyone is welcome to be here. Looking forward to a little bit of time in the Word of God with you, and our hope is that we'll be able to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ with the truth, especially during this time where we're not able to meet because of the coronavirus. So I want to do a little bit of time in the Word of God today, and out of Ephesians chapter 6, and you know, our goal is to encourage the body of Christ so that we might have strong faith, have good testimonies during this time. And our present situation with the coronavirus is difficult for us because we're not able to gather as a church in the way that we want to, as maybe in the way that we ought to be. But, you know, we hope that this situation won't be a long-term one, that we'll be able to be back together meeting again soon. We hope that our efforts will serve to allow this illness to die out, and there won't be such a threat, and we'll be able to resume things that we've done in the past. And we trust that the governing authorities that are in charge of protecting us and helping us will not prohibit us from meeting in the future when we feel in good conscience we need to resume those meetings. So we want to be wise, and we want to be careful, and we want to be faithful always in those things. But until the time that things change, we have this situation for most churches that we're not able to meet as we were before. So we want to be careful about that. When the church can't meet, we're not able to do what God designed us to do. He's designed the church to gather and to be together, and we get together and we worship the Lord. We gather to encourage saints, the believers. We gather to practice the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's table. We gather for fellowship. We gather to receive instruction from the Word of God, to bring our gifts and offerings to the church, to support the work of the gospel ministry. We minister our spiritual gifts to each other when we gather. We receive that ministry from others, and so we're a little disadvantaged when we're not able to do that. The Spirit desires that we gather together. It's His role to bring us into unity, and it's hard to be unified when you're separated physically. So we're at a little bit of a disadvantage when we're not able to get. I suppose we could say, to some extent, we're weaker because we are missing the good practice of ministry within the church, of loving each other and serving each other and praying for each other and looking how to just look after the spiritual needs of one another. And so we're a little bit more vulnerable. We may be more vulnerable to sin and temptation. We may be a little bit more prone to waywardness without the encouragement of our fellow believers, without, in some cases, the admonishment of other believers calling us to better righteousness. We're missing the wisdom of the saints that we count on for counsel. We're missing, of course, the love of the fellowship, which we're known by as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we navigate this time? How can we get through and be encouraged? How can we do well in the eyes of the Lord? And I think that our passage today out of Ephesians 6 gives us some help. So I want to read out of Ephesians then with you. So if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians, we're going to begin there. Ephesians chapter 6, as I said. Yeah. Get there myself. There we go. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And Paul says, and pray for on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we have in this passage, I really think, things that are helpful to us. And of course, Paul is writing from prison to this church that he's not able to be with. And he encourages them, as he says, finally, the latter matters of his letter to them. And there's two things that I think we ought to notice right away about this. And we'll read some of it again. But the first thing is this. We are to be strengthened in the strength of the Lord. Paul's encouragement to Christians is be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Throughout the letter to the Ephesians, we're reminded of the blessings of God, the blessings of having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to salvation, of faith in the living out of our faith in Christ. To its fullest measure. This is, we can break up Ephesians really into kind of two parts. The early part, or the first half, the first three chapters of Ephesians is the doctrines of the Christian faith, things that we believe, and not everything, but the things that he mentions there. And so we might say the first half is the doctrine of the Christian faith. And the second half, we have more practical matters of living out your faith. And so the second half is the practice of the Christian faith. Paul is wanting Christians to be strengthened in their beliefs and in their behaviors consistent with those beliefs. Our beliefs and our behaviors are there. And so when he gets here, he's helping Christians make practical application of the truth that they know. And he tells them first, I want you to be strengthened in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and then the strength of his might. I actually like how the King James and the New King James puts it, how they translate it, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I like that because there's three different words that are here to help us understand this idea of being strong in the Lord. The first term that we say be strong in the Lord is actually, it's in a passive way, be strengthened. It's not go eat, but go be fed. It's not to go sit in the sun, but go be warmed by the sun. The idea is you're receiving something, that the action you're taking so that you bring something in. So be strengthened more than be strong. I'll let the Lord strengthen you is the idea. Be strengthened in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. We're receiving that. And this first word for strength is just a general idea of strength and power, kind of the force that you have, the might. All three of these words really are somewhat synonyms. They just maybe have some little different nuance to them, and you could use them interchangeably. But you've got a choice to make. Is the Spirit of God, when he inspires Paul writing this, is he just saying synonyms that would emphasize, hey, be strong in the Lord? Or are the different words employed by the Spirit to give us a little bit more of a nuance, and I tend to go with the latter. And so that first term, be strengthened, have some strength from the Lord to do the things that he's called you to do, but be strengthened in the Lord in the power. And this is a word that has a connotation with it of a dominating power, if you will, a level of power. People that play video games, their characters power up, and they're at the maximum level of power. That's sort of the idea, I think, behind this. We see the same word used in Ephesians chapter 19, but Ephesians chapter 1, there's not that many chapters. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. The idea here of power being the what you can bring. We are to the surpassing greatness of his power, his strength what he is able to do, and the level of it that he has. This is in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, the level of power that he has, because it's his might. And this actually has, this verse has in it both, when it says the strength of his might, is using our latter two words, that we have the power of strength, as well as the last word in the power of his might. That third word is the extent to which God has power, how you can exercise that power. And so you have the strength that you have, and then the level of power that is available to you, and then the extent to which you can use that power. And so back to chapter 6, verse 10, where we started, be strong in the Lord, be strengthened by the Lord, and the strength and the level of power he has, to the extent of power that he can make it available. God is, of course, well, eternal, isn't he? He is able to go on with his power forever. There's not going to be a shortage of it. There's not going to be a lack. And so you be strengthened with the level of power he has, to the extent that he is able to bring that power to bear. In other words, we're not lacking any kind of supply, but note the source. We have to go to the Lord. It's not our power. We're not empowering ourselves. We're depending on the Lord. We're trusting ourselves in the Lord, and we need to be empowered by him. Now, how do you do that? How does that practically happen? Well, verse 11 follows up. Not only are we to be strengthened by in the strength of the Lord, but secondly, we are to be adorned with the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. We might say you could be armored with the armor of God. We could do that. But I said adorned because of this idea of putting it on, that you need to be clothed with it. You need to be dressed with it. And the emphasis of the language is that you're not always getting dressed with it, but you put it on. It's what you wear. The emphasis on being clothed in it, of having it. You wear it. It's your uniform. It's what's on. The command could be stated, have it on. You know, be dressed with it. In the recent Star Wars show that was released, I think it was on Disney Channel, a show called The Mandalorian, that character had a helmet, and in their culture, a warrior culture, they put on that helmet and they don't take it off. It's just what they wear, and anybody that tries to take it off, it's going to be a big deal. And they even have a phrase that it is the way, and they keep on, they don't take it off. This is the idea. Put that armor on. That's what you wear. You've got it on. That's your thing. You keep it with you. When my kids leave the house, I don't have to say to them, "Hey, take your cell phone with you." They've always got their cell phone with them. They have to tell me, "Dad, don't leave, you know, take your phone with you." I don't care for it that much. I'll leave it behind easily. But for them, they just always got it with you. I don't even have to ask. That's the idea. Always be armored with the armor of God. Make sure that is put on you. You are protecting yourself against, well, what we're going to see is the spiritual forces that are against us. But make sure you're putting on the whole armor of God. It's the full armor. It's the complete armor. You're not lacking any of the pieces. And we're going to look in a subsequent video at those pieces specifically. But make sure you're coming to the Lord and you're making available to yourself, or you're receiving what he has given to us so that we can be strengthened against the things that we face. We want to be strong in faith. We want to be doing well in God's eyes. We want to, well, as we're going to see, we're going to be resisting something. And that really leads us to the goal of all of this. Why is it that we need to be strengthened by the Lord? Why did we need to put on God's armor? Well, it says plainly in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that, in order that, you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We need to be ready to stand firm. That is to be rooted, if you will, to be set, to be ready to not be moved. It's very interesting that when God equips us for battle, he's not intending us to be on the charge of the advance. We simply stand. That's our job. We stand in the armor of the Lord. We seek to endure. We seek to keep standing. And what are we doing when we stand? Well, we stand against the schemes of the devil. That's our job, is to not do anything but resist and be against it. And what are we resisting? We're resisting the schemes, a word for plans, even plottings, devices, trickery, cunning, craftiness. Sometimes it can be translated in that kind of way. Ephesians 4 uses it, I believe, in verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by the craftiness of deceitful scheming. We find our word in that verse. And so you have this idea of a plotting and a devising and a cunning. That's the method, the root of this, where we get our English word method from, the methods of the devil, the schemes, the plans, the plotting. So you're to take a stand. You're to make a stand. You are to place yourself in such a way that you are against what the devil is trying to do. You are to put on the complete armor of God towards the goal of being able to stand against these plans, against these schemes. And the devil, of course, is our great enemy. Is there a real devil? Absolutely, there is a real devil. He is our great spiritual enemy. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of lies. He's full of deceit in John 8:44. He's a fraudulent one. He seeks to tempt us. He seeks to want us to, as that was his great work at the very beginning, to bring mankind through temptation into sin. He's called our adversary in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We have to watch out for this enemy, but we're equipped with the armor of God to resist and stand firm. Well, what do we do when we stand firm? What is actually going on? Why are we called to that kind of posture? Well, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, what is our struggle? It's not against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual fight. But it's not really a fight. Well, it's a struggle. And the word struggle there really is kind of the idea of a wrestling. In the ancient world, there was a wrestling competition where they seek to throw the other person over so that you can pin them down, that you can press them down and hold their neck. And that was the idea of the victor. But you're supposed to stand. You're not supposed to be thrown off. You're not supposed to be designed to be pinned down. The armament that you're given will help you to resist in a way that you're not going to be taken to the mat, but you're going to continue to stand in your faith and resist and be able to fight against those forces that would want you to participate in sin, want you to move towards unrighteousness, that don't want to see you devoted to the truth, don't want you to see you sharing the gospel, being a good disciple, seeking to be obedient to the things the Lord wants. These are forces of wickedness. I mean, just listen to the list again. Against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness. Darkness connected with the devil. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness and the heavenly places. These are who we're supposed to stand firm. It's a spiritual battle, a spiritual enemy, spiritual forces. That's why we need to be strengthened by the Lord. We need spiritual strengthening from the Lord, and the great might and the extent of his power is available to us so that we can stand against all these plotting and all these schemes. Let's remember, the battle has already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job is just to stand against the wave of these things so that at the end we're found standing in the power of the Lord. That's what he's looking for from us. So the struggle is just that we not give in to those waves of pressure. That's our fight. to stand there and not be taken over by these things. There is a deliverance of defeat for us. We look at the next verse, verse 13. Therefore, in light of the fact that we have a devil who's scheming against us, but we are to be strengthened by the Lord and armored by the Lord. And with all of these forces that are against us, that are for wickedness and righteousness, we need to stand. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. We talked about having it on. Make sure you're taking it to yourself. Don't be letting go of it. Don't be dropping, but take it up. Take it to yourself. Make sure you are armored in that way and keep your armor on. Be armored with that armor. But take it. Trust in it. Believe that God is going to be providing for you what he needs. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. There's two things. If we take up the armor, we're going to be able to resist. We're going to be able to stand against the tricks, the wiles, the devices of the enemy, of all the wicked forces that are out there, even against the temptations of our own flesh. If we give ourselves to the Lord, if we're trusting in his provision, we are going to be able to do it. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist. Friends, we can't resist these things in a spiritual battle unless we are equipped spiritually by the Lord. This is what we're being called to do. So take up that armor of God so that you will be able to resist. That's the first one, in the evil day. And this is it. This is the evil day when evil is present, when the assault is happening. We need to stand firm in it. But not just resisting. Also, it says, and having done everything to stand firm. We are to resist when the evil is present, and we're to be doing everything we can to not fall to the pressures on us. Do everything you can to stand firm. We are the people that are doing everything possible to stand. That's why we take up the armor. Take up the armor so that you can resist, and that you're equipped to do everything that you can to be standing in the Lord's provision when the assault is over. That's why the next verse, verse 14, says, stand firm, therefore. Now that you know what to do, stand there firm, therefore. And he's going to go then and get into the armaments that we will look at the next time. But I'll give you this first one before we go, because you might be saying, well, what exactly can I cling to? What can I go for? Stand firm, therefore, verse 14, having girded your loins with truth. Brothers and sisters, we need to be people of the truth, people of the Word of God. We need to be studying it. We need to be reading it. It's been said by others that we need to mine the Word of God like a miner, like you're digging into the ground, pulling out that which is precious. We need to dig into the Word of God and study and understand and draw out those things. Oh, that's an encouraging thing. Or, oh, that was really challenging to me. I'm convicted. I need to remember that portion of truth. We need to mine it. We need to memorize it. We need to put it into our minds so it's quickly there and available for us. We need to think deeply about it. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Allow it to wash over us, to be thoughtful about it. The last upload that we did was on Psalm 1. Blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the path of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. So this is what is available to us. We stand firm. First of all, verse 14, having girded your loins with truth. We need to be shored up with the truth, and we'll talk about that more next time. So we're going to finish this off. So we're going to finish off the armor. I hope that gives you a little bit of encouragement and taste for this passage. Read it for yourself. Read it over. You might memorize this one. This is a good one to have in our minds. But I trust that you are continuing to be encouraged. Thank you for tuning in to this post of our YouTube channel. And I pray that the Lord will be blessing you and that you will be seeking him out in prayer and asking for his provision in your life, taking advantage of the things that he gives to us, that we might be able to stand firm against temptation. We don't want to be become victims of this time when we can't get together with each other. Exercise the things that God has put in your hands so that we might be able to do well in His eyes, even when we're not able to have, like we would desire, the regular encouragement of the church. We're left with phone calls and texts and videos and FaceTiming and those kinds of things, but don't be afraid to do those. Please do them, but spend time in the Word. Strengthen yourself so that you can do well in the Lord's eyes. Thanks for listening today.